The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
All right, here we go, man. Got Ben McKee. We good to go. Go Vols 247. I'm Jason Swain here in the Low T Center Studio. All right, Ben. What I was saying was Tennessee is number one team in the country right now. You had Texas A&M dropping a series. You had Arkansas dropping a series. Tennessee was the third-rated team in the country. Now, number one team in the country. And for some reason, we scared. Some folks are scared about being number one team in the country because we've been staying up too late watching too many superhero movies, too many movies, and we think that jinxes are a real thing. And I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. It's really a loser mentality. It's really weak, in my opinion. And we, a lot of the times, point the finger at players being soft. We point the finger at snowflakes and other people not displaying a toughness. But nothing gets more snowflakey than being afraid that your team is playing well at the right time of the season. Like, I don't understand that. Guess what happens if they don't continue to play well? Then you won't win. Like, that's the way it works in sports. If you play a certain way and you win, but then you don't play that certain way moving forward, you're not going to win as much. Help me understand, Ben, the concern with being number one when you didn't have the same level of concern when you was number three in the country. What's the difference?
That's a really good point that I have not heard made. I mean, it's not like Tennessee jumped from number 23 to one or even 13-1. It was 3-1. Not that big of a difference. And Tennessee, although it has not been ranked number one, has been viewed in that top tier of baseball teams in college baseball this season, along with Texas A&M, Arkansas, Clemson, maybe Florida State. Mississippi State doesn't have the record to be at the very top in the rankings in top 25 polls, but they are playing great baseball of late and are maybe on the cusp or already in that top tier of teams as well. So it's not like Tennessee hasn't already been viewed in that top tier. So I don't think I need to make you understand, because I thought everything that you just said was the perfect explanation and is the explanation. In the grand scheme of things, it does not matter. And is it rare that the number one team, the number one seeded team in the tournament, wins the tournament? Yes, and that's mostly because the tournament is a crapshoot. on top of the tournament format being a crapshoot in both basketball and baseball, baseball is a funky game. I just saw a recent story from Jason Stark, who covers Major League Baseball, and he said the beautiful thing about baseball is you just never know what's going to happen. And that applies to the postseason, as we've learned very recently with Tennessee. That 2022 team was by far the best team in the country. If it made it to Omaha, it probably wins the NCAA tournament. But it played one of its worst weekends of the season the weekend before Omaha, and Notre Dame played arguably its best weekend of the season, and the stars aligned in a negative way for Tennessee and a positive way for Notre Dame. So it has no bearing. And I am somebody who is superstitious, and I don't like jinxes, and I think it's more fun than anything. But it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, as you pointed out. And right now, last I checked, Tennessee is ranked number one by five college baseball polls that don't mean a lot. Now, I did have this thought to myself yesterday. The D1 baseball poll that I go by and have always gone by and a lot of people go by, that is probably the most reliable top 25 poll in all of sports, because like with football and basketball, you essentially have two. You have the Associated Press poll, which is a bunch of journalists all throughout the country who cover one individual team. For the most part, most of them are covering one individual team. They are voting. So there's no way to accurately rank top 25 or 25 teams when you are dedicated to covering one team, because it's just simply impossible to cover every sport in the country. If it's football on a Saturday, or if it's even basketball on a Saturday, there's so much going on with the team that you cover. You can't accurately enough keep up with everybody else to rank 25 teams. And then the coaches poll, I mean, that is the most political poll that there is. Coaches are ranking this team because they lost to them earlier in the year, and they want that loss to look better, or they're ranking this team lower than it should be because they don't like the head coach of that team. Like, the coaches poll and the AP polls, they don't mean anything in basketball and football, and there's a coaches poll in baseball as well. But D1 baseball, like the group of four or five guys, they cover the sport at an elite level, and they are not specialized in one team. They're covering the team as a whole, or the league as a whole. So I do think that the D1 baseball poll is more accurate than any poll in college athletics, quite frankly. But at the end of the day, it's still five polls. And last I checked, it's not the NCAA tournament seeding that came out yesterday. Tennessee's not the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament yet. They're the number one overall team in the country with two weekends to play and a conference tournament to play. So I just think it's weird, given where this program was 7 years ago, that some people don't really want to celebrate it the way that it should be celebrated, in my opinion. And does this team feel like the number one team in the country at all times? No, it doesn't. But there isn't a team in the country that feels like the bona fide number one team this season. And although it may not feel like number one at all times, maybe they have their moments here and there where they struggle. We've seen that of late. But at the end of the day, they have as good of a chance as anybody to go win a national championship.
I think this is good for Tennessee, the fact that unlike a couple of years ago, where Tennessee was talked about being one of the best teams ever in the regular season, if not the best team in the regular season, that was beating down everybody in the SEC. The gap between Tennessee and everyone else was very, very wide. There was more pressure on Tennessee. They were the, you know, odds-on favorite. This year, what you just said, it's closer. Like, there's more teams closer together, which I think is good for Tennessee. Last year, like, LSU won it, and I felt like last year LSU was closer to the other teams throughout the season, and then late pulled away and played really good baseball when it mattered the most. Well, here we are, where we've had our number one pitcher out for a good amount of time, and other guys have had the opportunity to step up, and they have performed along with awesome hitting. You found different ways to win when you are cranking the ball over the fence, and when you're not cranking the ball over the fence, you found ways to win conference games. It's not luck. It's not a jinx that causes you trouble when you're the number one team in the country. It simply comes down to execution. And understand, when you have the number one label on your back, yeah, it makes the bullseye big. But it's just as big if you're the second-rated team or the third-rated team. You're a top-10 team. That's what the opponent sees, and that's why they want to knock you off. I got something for you, Ben. In 2018-19, Tennessee basketball team was number one in the country after beating Alabama 71-68 in January. Okay, they played Vanderbilt that next game, being number one. And I understand the storyline there, because when Bruce Pearl had this basketball team number one in the country on the road, and we lost to Vanderbilt. And so the same scenario kind of presented itself. It took overtime for us to beat Vanderbilt. But you beat Vanderbilt, you beat West Virginia, you beat South Carolina, you beat Texas A&M, you beat Missouri, you beat Florida, you beat South Carolina. You won several games as the number one team. And then you went on the road and played at Rupp. And quite frankly, you just got beat down. I mean, you got beat down. Kentucky shot 55% from the field. We shot 41%. They made 5 threes, shooting 39% from three. We shot 28% from three, made 7 threes. Free throws, we attempted 18. They made 23. Y'all know how that story works out. Rebounding, and this is the worst part, 39 rebounds, we had 26. So they out-rebounded us by 13. That's why you lost the game. Had nothing to do with Jinx. In football, 2022, Tennessee was the number one team in the country in the first edition of the college football playoff. What happened? We went on the road, and we had 94 yards rushing. We couldn't generate explosive plays. We couldn't stop explosive plays. Oh, Georgia receivers, they not that good going into the week. Oh, our receiver's better. Welcome to the Ladd McConkey Show. That was his breakout party. And look at where he is now. But he had 5 catches, 94 yards, and touchdowns. Touchdown, he was straight balling. It wasn't a jinx. It was execution. That's what it comes down to. If you don't execute, it don't matter if you're the third-rated team in the country, the first-rated team in the country, your butt losing. That's just how it works.
Absolutely. And that is something that I said last night when we recorded a late-night edition of the Diamond Vols podcast at Go Vols 24/7, myself, Will Heflin, and Wes Rucker. I encourage you to go check that out after.
Rucker's in it, though?
Yeah, that is unfortunate. But Wes had some good points for once. So folks can check that out after Swain and I wrap up, of course. But that is something that I apologized in advance for, of a very simpleton take that I am going to have and say quite a bit over the next several weeks as we approach the postseason, because there is not that one dominant team. And I feel bad for even mentioning it and making this point, because it is so simple and so obvious, but it is so much the truth. And it's exactly what you're saying. The team that executes the best over the next couple of weeks is going to make it to Omaha. The team that executes the best in Omaha, because there's not that one Goliath that you have to slay. There's not Paul Skeens that you have to slay. There's not an LSU. Well, there are lineups this year that you have to slay, but there's not that 2022 Tennessee baseball team that Notre Dame had to slay. There's nothing along those lines. We've seen some Florida and Vanderbilt teams in recent years, in the last decade or so, feel like teams that it was just going to be really, really hard to knock off. There's been some Arkansas teams as well. And what had those Arkansas teams not done? Arkansas should have won the College World Series about two or three times now, and they've won it zip, zero, and nada, because they hadn't executed when it mattered most. Mm. They can't catch a pop fly. They can't communicate on a pop fly. They did not execute on that pop-up and communicate with each other like you're taught from the time you were a little leaguer. So it's a simpleton take, and it feels weird, and I feel kind of dumb for even mentioning it, but it's so true, and it's what is going to determine who wins this year, because there's not that Goliath out there like we've had in baseball or in football with Georgia or Alabama at times, or the 2019 LSU team. This past season in basketball, it just kind of felt like UConn was inevitable. It took UConn, the Goliath team, to knock off the 7'4" Goliath himself, Zach Edey, who felt inevitable throughout the season. So there's not that in baseball this year. Does Tennessee have questions about its pitching staff? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Do I think that Tennessee's pitching staff is just going to shut everybody out the remainder of the season? No, I do not, because I don't think it's the pitching staff that Tennessee has had the last couple of years. But it's not a bad pitching staff. Every team in the country has pitching questions, and that is going to separate who wins in the postseason and who doesn't. Just like LSU last year. LSU had the same questions about its pitching staff going into the postseason that Tennessee has right now. And Tennessee actually has pitched better up until this point than LSU did a season ago. And it clicked for that pitching staff in the postseason last year when it mattered most. So A&M, they have pitching questions. Arkansas, they have questions, but they're probably the best staff in the country, especially with Hagan Smith. But even yesterday, they had a key bullpen guy go down, or somebody that they were looking to step up go down and has to have Tommy John. So they're team after team after team. Can Georgia get enough pitching? I mentioned A&M. Mississippi State, are they going to have enough? Florida, you see their concerns with their pitching staff. Vanderbilt's not pitching like it typically does, although it's still been pretty good. So I just the freak out is a little much, and I just do not get it. I think a little bit of it is the superstition thing, Swain, but I also think there's another aspect of, like, at times this Tennessee baseball team has not passed the eyeball test as, like, viewing them as the number one team in the country, and I totally get that. I just said at times they have not passed the eye test. But, again, they have as good of a chance to win this offseason, or this postseason, I'm sorry, as anybody in the country, and it's just going to simply come down to execution. I mean, that's what it's going to boil down to. Two things that I wanted to add real quick, Swain, and I'll throw it back to you. The two biggest things that I don't understand about the fear with the number one ranking, and this doesn't just apply to baseball, this is with all sports, because I remember at times when basketball was ranked number one, or maybe even we saw it a little bit when the football team was ranked number one in the first edition of the playoff rankings, is the coaches and the players are the ones that need to handle it the right way. Not the fans on social media, not the meat sticks like Swain and I with a microphone in front of our face. Hey. I mean, we are allowed to talk about the team being ranked number one. Does Blake Burke and Christian Moore and Tony Vitello need to be worried about the number one ranking and feeling too good about themselves? Absolutely not. And I can assure you, I promise you, that nobody was more annoyed in the state of Tennessee yesterday than Tony Vitello because his team was ranked number one. There wasn't a more annoyed person in college athletics yesterday than Tony Vitello because of that number one ranking. And I promise you that he is utilizing it in the best way. There's been some football coaches come through that would throw up a million graphics about it and get real complacent. That's not Tony Vitello. He doesn't care about being ranked number one. He cares about winning a national championship. Christian Moore, Blake Burke, Kavars Tears, Dylan Dreiling, those guys don't care about being ranked number one. They want to go win an SEC championship. They want to get back to Omaha and then win more than one game in Omaha. Simo, Burke, those guys that were here 2 years ago, they've already been ranked number one. Drew Beam's already been ranked number one. They don't care about all that. So it's not as if the coaches and the players are out here getting complacent with the ranking, which is the most important part about it. And then this one, I guess, applies more to the baseball program, Swain. You mentioned it already about having that target on your back with the number one ranking.
They've been had it.
They've been had a target on their back. It's Tennessee baseball. Yeah. Everybody in the country hates them. You don't think – I mean, will it add a little extra motivation this weekend for Vanderbilt? I'm sure Tennessee's coming into their building ranked number one, and they're unranked and have lost several games in a row. I'm sure that it adds a little extra motivation. But you don't think that they were already going to be motivated with how the series in the past – have played out, and the fact that it's an in-state rivalry and they cannot stand each other? Like, Tennessee baseball has already had a target on its back, whether it's ranked number 3, 13, 23, or unranked. As long as Tony Vitello is the head coach, and as long as they play the brand of baseball that they do, which there's nothing wrong with it, but they will always have a target on their back. Adding the number one ranking does not really add to that.
Yeah, man, I have nothing to add there. Those are 2 points that I was going to make. I mean, you laid it out perfectly. We are not on the team. You're not on the team, fan. So you don't have to be focused. you don't have to block out the outside noise about your team being number one. It's those players. And really good point by you. There's several players on this team that already went through that. That went through the hype and failed losing to Notre Dame. They understand what you have to do now to prevent that from happening. And that's continue to stay focused and keeping the main thing and executing. 865-255-03. Let's go to the phones. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Turkey Man?
Ben nailed it. He nailed it. It ain't got nothing about being suspicious, superstitious or anything like that. It's just the pressure. And he just nailed it. only thing Tony can do is go negative all on, say, you're 500 last four games.
Yep.
You know, you lost midweek game. You ain't done nothing. You know, that's all I can do is go back and look at what they had done. Your pitching, look how many you give up here. I mean, he can go back and look at that. But when you add pressure, it's like you said something here a while back, Swain, you was talking about Peyton losing every time he comes. The we lose. Well, he comes with the most pressure cooker game. You know, he comes to like the Georgia games and stuff like that, and you see, you know, really good games. He comes to the Alabama games. I was thinking about when we was rated number one in football 22 that you mentioned a while ago. Well, that week we go play Georgia. Which is going to be hard enough to beat them anyhow. But we come in number one team in the country. And they go, oh, look how they overlook us. I mean, we're the victim. Georgia becomes the victim. That puts extra pressure on us to compete. And ain't no slipping up on nobody like that. We probably got beat in, but not. And then somebody stirs the hornet's nest and says, oh, they're quiet down there. Get the fans involved in it. Don't help you. It don't help you when you show up with that. So I think Ben hit it, nailed it when he said that number one rankings motivates the ones don't need to be motivated.
All right, Turkey Man.
That's my 2 cents.
Hey, thank you, Turkey Man. Oh, yeah, last point. You didn't make this. The best time to be number one is at the very end of the season, right? You want to be the last man standing. Then how many more series does Tennessee have?
Two.
Where are we in the regular season? We're at the end, right?
Yes.
Then you have SEC tournament down in Hoover. And then you have, mm-hmm. You got the show. This is the perfect time to be ranked number one. This is the perfect time to be playing some of your best baseball. This is the perfect time to be number one outside of the end of the season, which is where you want to be number one ideally. Like, come on, man. Like, let's go.
Well, the other thing, Swain, that I feel like I do feel like there's a good chunk of people that are kind of having fun with the whole number one curse.
Oh, yes.
And are kind of saying it lightheartedly,
yeah, for some.
And having some fun. So this conversation isn't directed at you all who are having fun with it, because I do think it's kind of funny as well. But there were like people legitimately upset about Tennessee being number one yesterday. And that is directed at, this conversation is directed at those people. Of course you have the right to feel the way that you want to feel, but I feel like when you get caught up on being upset about Tennessee being ranked number one because of superstitions and jinxes and things of that nature, like you're missing out on the fun. Like, enjoy a Tennessee athletics team having the success that it is having. But the thing with baseball, where it's different even than basketball, is with the number one ranking, I mean, you're number one with 2 weeks to go. You are in prime position to host a super regional. I mean, it would take the wheels completely falling off these next 2 weekends. Like, it would probably take Tennessee getting swept by both Vandy and South Carolina the next 2 weekends to fall out at the number 8 national seed. And I don't even know for sure that at that point that they still wouldn't be a number 8 national seed. So you've already locked up hosting a regional. And now, because you are picking up a series win at Florida, at Kentucky, you're sweeping LSU, you're sweeping Missouri when you should. You are securing that the road to Omaha goes through Knoxville. That X amount of teams, I guess it'll be four teams, three in regional and one in a super regional. Four teams are going to have to come to Knoxville in order to get to Omaha. And you're not going to have to go to Clemson and deal with all the stuff you have to deal with on the road. You're not going to have to go to Hattiesburg and sit under the bleachers during a weather delay and just, quite frankly, be stuck in Hattiesburg, although the food in Hattiesburg was delicious, and I'd love to go back and eat at their restaurants. But other than that, I have no interest in going back to Hattiesburg. I'm sorry for anybody from there or living there. But like, you don't have to worry about all that. So I think it's even more important in baseball because of the ability to host in the postseason that you are ranked high towards the end of the season, even if you're worried about a target being added to your back. And here's another thing that Will Heflin said last night on our podcast. Number one seed in football, won the national championship this year in Michigan. And I know the college football playoff is a little bit different, but still, just to hammer home Will's point, the number one seed in football won the national championship. The number one seed in basketball, the UConn Huskies, won the national championship. The number one seed in women's basketball, the South Carolina, the Lady Gamecocks, or are we taking game out? Dawn Staley won the national championship as the number one seed.
It's probably time to take a break. I need to turn your mic off. 865-255-03. More on the other side here at the Swain Event.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Ben referenced GoVols 247 podcast, had former Tennessee pitcher Will Heflin on. You guys made a point about the number one seeds winning in other sports this season. Let me. Y'all left some meat on the bone. Y'all left some meat on the bone here. Why do you want the number one seed in now the college football playoff with 12 teams? Why do you want the number one seed in basketball, NCAA tournament? The reason why you want the number one seed is because more times than not, you're going to get a good draw. In football, the new college football playoff format, you're going to get a bye week. You can't lose a game that you don't play. So it's very important to try to be a conference champion, have the number one seed. And
in football, after the bye week, are they also going to be playing the lowest seeded team at that point?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, that it would seem like that would need to I don't know how they would set that up with a bye week involved. That may seem to complicate things. Maybe I don't know if they're resetting the seeding after that week. I don't know,
maybe
but
play,
I would
maybe
play I would
the lowest
think that they get
rated seed. The seed, whoever wins, you play the lowest seed.
Like in the NFL?
That's usually how it works.
Well, we in college athletics like to complicate things, so hopefully they will keep it simple and roll with the NFL model. But that's an added benefit of having the bye week and then theoretically playing the lowest seeded team.
In basketball, you wanted the number one overall seed or the number one seed because you feel like that's going to give you a better draw than having the number two seed. And we had that conversation a couple weeks ago about Tennessee. Do you want the number one seed? Do you want the number two seed? It wound up being pretty beneficial if Tennessee had the number one seed and went out to L.A. rather than having the number two seed where we were and going up against Purdue. Now, you would have had to beat Alabama again. But, hey, it's a team you've already beat. So, like, let's not pretend like there's not benefits of being the number one seed. Like, and, again, it's still a human element. So, sometimes you may have teams put into a bracket that you feel like unfair. It was a couple of years ago, Ben. Tennessee was hosting. And there was a team that we played here. And I think that was a year where – Drew Gilbert had to walk off.
Wright State.
We're like, hold on now. Wright State is too good to be where playing us where we are. We've earned the right to play a lesser team in this position. So you do have situations where the voters and the committee, you know, they make mistakes, but for the most part, like, you put yourself in a really good position if you're able to get that number one overall seed. 865-255-03. Check out the Beatty Chevrolet text box this morning. It's May the 7th, 8:43 on a Tuesday.
While you pull that up real quick, with baseball, you want to guarantee that you have home field advantage throughout the postseason. It is so beneficial in a lot of ways to be the number one seed because you are guaranteeing that A, you're hosting up until Omaha if you handle business. B, the seeding part that you discussed, theoretically at that point when you have a super regional, you would host one of the lower seeded super regional teams. You'd be matched up with the 16 seed. And then even in your own draw, as you mentioned, Swain, you'd have teams that theoretically are unlikely to knock you off. So in baseball, I think it's even heightened just because you're allowed to host up until the big dance.
Vol Birmingham says, I think the reason people don't like being number one is that the number one team has only won the College World Series one time in its history. Okay. Cool. That's not the reason why we didn't win a couple of years ago. Because of history, Notre Dame was just better than us. We didn't execute. Listen, man, this is the decade of the Vols. Hey, we ain't got time to be all scary.
Somebody's going
to
win it at some point.
Vol and Birmingham. Ain't nobody got time to be all scary. This is the decade of the Vols. We just took down the NCAA. Let's go. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to, like, someone is going to win the College World Series ranked as the number one seed, overall seed. It's not going to be Miami forever. So why not us? Why not us? Why not? That's all I'm saying. Why not us? We have several players on this team that failed to win as the number one overall seed a couple years ago. Still on this team. You don't think they've learned from that? You don't think they've shared that with the rest of their team about the type of mentality you need to have, the type of mentality that they wish they would have had in the postseason that kept them from reaching their goal? You don't think that they're sharing that with their team now to make sure that they have the same edge? You don't think Tony Vitello is doing the same thing? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, the reason why you're number one, honestly, is not because you just dominated Florida all three games. The reason why you're number one in any way is because the two teams in front of you lost. That's the reason. Because, honestly, Arkansas can still be number one. Texas A&M can still be number one. We can be one of the three teams from one to three, just like Arkansas and Texas A&M, and no one would bat an eye. But the reason why we're number one is because they those two teams lost. All right. What does it mean that the North Florida transfer guard, Chaz Lanier, who, hey, I think the basketball fan base is kind of waiting on him to see what's going to go on. Is Tennessee going to land him from the transfer portal? What does it mean, Ben, that he received a G League elite camp invite? How does that change things? How does that affect Tennessee's chances, or does it?
I don't really think it means anything or affects Tennessee's chances whatsoever. I guess technically it could. It depends on how things go for Chaz at the camp. Because from my understanding, he is looking for a first-round grade in the NBA draft. And if he were to receive a first-round grade, then he would remain in the NBA draft. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but as of like within the last week or so, it's not expected that he is going to receive a first round grade. So I did not really think twice when I saw that. I thought the bigger development was him not getting invited to the NBA draft combine, because I think that's where you can really raise your draft stock. So I guess it could potentially turn into a worrisome thing for Tennessee if Chaz Lanier was to go to the G League camp thing and just absolutely hit a grand slam and knock it out of the park and his draft stock skyrockets. I mean, that would be an issue, because then all of a sudden maybe he begins to flirt with that first round grade. But I don't know that somebody who doesn't get drafted to the normal combine but then gets invited to the G League combine, I don't know that their draft stock is going to be as high as they would like it to be to remain in the draft. I think it would have to take a change of heart in terms of just wanting to go to the next level for Chaz Lanier to remain in the draft. I think it would have to have him change his mind about that whole first round grade or come back to college thing. So I don't think it really means much unless he just goes and absolutely kills it, which I guess is possible in his draft stock skyrockets, but I don't see it climbing to first round stuff. If I'm Tennessee, I'm more worried about Kentucky than I am the NBA draft, quite frankly. I do think and would say that Tennessee still leads for Chaz Lanier, but Kentucky, they're swinging. They are swinging, and they are swinging hard. They're Kavars tears up there in the box. They are swinging for the fences. They are Blake Burke in the box. They are swinging and trying to deliver an epic bat flip. So
we need to be Christian Moore.
What's that?
I said we need to be Christian Moore, because he's the one that's leading the program in home runs. We need to just be a little bit better then.
Yes, there is a lot of hope and positive vibes from Kentucky on social media. I have not picked up on that being as genuine as maybe Kentucky fans think from some that I have spoken to. I think Tennessee remains in a really, really good spot. And again, I just said it a moment ago, I consider Tennessee the leader as of today and always have. But if I'm Tennessee, I am worried, just because I do think Kentucky is a little bit desperate, and it is Kentucky basketball at the end of the day. They seem more invested in NIL now as well, now that there's been a change with Cal. They're enthused. So that would concern me more than anything draft related, because I think with the draft, it would take a change of heart in what he and his people are looking for from a draft stock perspective for him to remain in the draft.
All right. A little rapid fire here. Here on GoVols 247, it says 5-star quarterback George McIntyre is all Vol, but other schools are trying to flip him. I just want to know, what's our mentality on this one? gang? What's our mentality? Do we want a player, a good player that nobody else wants? Or are we over here nervous and freaking out and wishing that no one was contacting George McIntyre? How we feel about that one? Because, I mean, you can try to flip them all you want to. I would be surprised if George McIntyre gives anyone time of day at this point.
Well, and I would be absolutely stunned if he absolutely or if he actually flipped to somebody. I mean, I would be just, my jaw would be on the ground if George decided to go elsewhere. And I will say, I do believe that this story was more about shutting down other teams than propping up other teams, if that makes sense. Like the story wasn't written in the context of, hey, Florida State is pursuing George and George is listening. It wasn't written in that manner, in my opinion. It was written more in the manner of schools are trying to talk to George and continue to try and get in the door with him, but he's shutting it all down.
Let me add this, because I think this is important, Dad. I think you will identify with this too. You're a nice guy, ain't you, Ben?
I'd like to think so.
I think you're a nice guy.
Thanks.
I think when you are in George McIntyre's shoes, and I've been in his shoes, kind of, not like a 5-star quarterback or anything, but you have all these schools that pull their tactics. With a little tactics. I'll give you an example. It starts off with you getting her number. And you're like, oh, we just gonna be friends. Oh no, I ain't trying to do nothing. I just wanna be your friend. That's all. That's where it starts. We know how it ends. It ends with gentleman wearing dad gang hat. that's how it ends. Well, teams are like, hey, George. Hey, man, we know you committed to Tennessee. But we just want to talk, man. That's it. You know, just want to talk, make sure you're good, and, you know, maybe come on a visit, but hey, no pressure if you don't. Hey, you commit to Tennessee, but hey, man, let's just catch up every once in a while. Just catch up every once in a while. What they're thinking is, hey, anything can happen. So if Tennessee drops the ball, if George feels a certain type of way, we're going to be here and pick up the pieces. We're going to be here. Well, I think guys in George's situation, young players, and as you get older, you learn how to do this a lot better. You learn how to tell people no without being mean. Because sometimes when you're young, you get pulled in certain directions and you don't know how to tell people no. You don't know how to tell your peers no. You don't know how to tell your friends no when maybe they're doing something you know is not right. You don't know how to tell them no in a way that doesn't ruin the friendship or doesn't come off as disrespectful. And sometimes you get caught in stuff that you shouldn't be caught in because you fail to tell them no. When I was being recruited, I promised Rodney Garner I would take an official visit to Georgia. I shouldn't have done that. I should have said no before promising him I would take an official visit. I was wasting his time, but I thought I was being nice. I was trying to be nice. I wasn't trying to be mean. But I should have said no. I was wasting my time. I was wasting his time. I wasted Mark Rick's time. I wasted my host's time. I wasted time. So sometimes, like, these recruits, they know where they want to go, but they don't have sometimes the ability to be like, no. Nah. So who does it take? It takes the high school coach. It takes somebody else to be like, no, nah, man, he's not interested. My high school coach helped me with that, telling a bunch of schools no. So, Ben, sorry to cut you off, but I just felt like that was important to throw in because young folks, man, you just don't really understand the art of saying no.
No, I think that's a great piece of context to add. And I was pretty much done saying what I was saying. Anyways, I wanted to provide the context that I wanted to provide, because I think the initial reaction for fans, and I had the reaction as well when I first saw Tom Loy, who was doing a great job for us with national recruiting, covering recruiting as a whole, former Notre Dame writer, and has jumped and is now covering national recruiting as a whole. And he has been doing a phenomenal job. So if you love recruiting and you aren't following Tom Loy, then I encourage you to do so. But my initial reaction when I saw the story was, wait, somebody's trying to flip George? Is George listening? Like there's that initial drama that you are curious about, or if you're a fan, there's that initial fear when you see maybe the headline or the tweet, but then you kind of dig into the story and you realize that no, the story is actually written in the manner of George shutting down teams that are reaching out to him, more than, because you see these stories, you see, okay, this five-star whatever is actually listening to other teams, and that's maybe how it came off initially. But you dive into the story and no, George is not listening to Florida State. It's more about him kind of putting it down and sticking to his Tennessee commitment, like the way that you just described. So no reason to be concerned there. It's a nothing burger, but I think what you said to maybe flip the conversation a little bit about being nervous about other teams coming at George, it's a great sign that teams are coming at George. It's no different than the being ranked number one conversation. Like there's no need to be scared. It's actually a good thing that other teams are coming at your five-star quarterback. You want other teams coming at your five-star quarterback, and teams like Florida State too. We've seen former five-star offensive linemen who the offensive line coach disagreed with the head coach about taking. And they were being pursued by other schools down the stretch, and it was like Ole Miss. And no offense to Ole Miss, they've had a decent amount of success over the last decade or so, and back when Hugh Freeze was there. But it's like, I'd rather see Florida State involved with my recruits than Ole Miss, quite frankly. Although Ole Miss is a little bit different now. Maybe that's not the perfect example, but we've seen lesser schools, is my overall point, pursue Tennessee commitments here and there with previous coaches. But with this staff, you're seeing the Florida States of the world come in and try to snatch your guys, which I think that's a great sign. It's no different than after every season, the first couple of weeks of the offseason, other schools coming after your coaches. I know it's weird, but like you want other schools coming after your coaches because that means you have good coaches.
That's true. I'll be honest, man. When I see a player commit to Tennessee and nobody else wants him that we play on our schedule, I'm kind of looking at it sideways. Just to be honest. 865-255-03. Ben McKee, Govoss 247. Jason Swain live here from the Low T Center studio. We'll get back to the Beatty Chevrolet text box when we come back from a brief timeout. Dad Gang President Ben McKee. Swain Event, fueled by Dad and Barbecue. Stay with me.
What's up, Swain Event family? It's great to be on board. This is Taylor Hawkins with Modern Woodman Fraternal Financial, and I have one question for you. When was the last time you have slowed down and evaluated your financial situation? Just like the Vols, a great game plan leads to victory. Let us help you achieve your financial goals with a custom-made game plan. No matter what stage of life you're in, protecting your family and hard-earned money is important. So let one of our local and trusted financial professionals secure your future by visiting one of our 10 branch offices across Tennessee, or give us a call locally at 865-312-5638. And remember, go Vols!
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's college sports town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo, or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it, and I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com, and check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
The conversation doesn't stop when the show is over. Follow the Swain Event on Twitter and like the show on Facebook.
All right, let's get to the Swain Event hotline this morning. Then we'll get back to the Beatty Chevrolet text box. Good morning.
Swain, good morning, brother.
What's going on, my man?
Well, Swain, I saw a crazy stat, man, with this NFL draft, and I think it relates to Tennessee in an offset kind of way, but the University of Michigan, the winningest, a school you almost went to, Swain, right? A school you considered.
Yep, number two.
They're the winningest program in the history of college football. They've been playing football there a long time. They got 52 first-round draft picks all time in the history of that program. Nick Saban has got 52 first-round draft picks on his own. And 44 of those came while he was at Alabama. And it just shows the level of dominance that he had there at Alabama. It's just unprecedented. And I think it's easy to say, well, Kalen DeBoer's not going to be as good as Nick Saban. But, I mean, it's really – I just – as it relates to Tennessee and Alabama, Swain, I just don't see them coming anywhere close to replicating that.
No.
And I think they're going to come they're still going to be a good program, but I think they're going to take a lot more of their lickings. I think Tennessee is going to kind of hand out a lot more L's than maybe they've been used to this last 10, 15 years. I think they're going to have to take a step back because I don't think you're replicating that level of talent.
Jay.
What's up, brother?
I'm confused. So the reason why I'm confused is we know no one's going to replicate that, what Nick Saban did, anytime soon.
No.
Especially now with the transfer portal and NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama or anyone's not going to have a chokehold on the market like that. I mean, Georgia's still doing what they're doing. They still got good players, but, like, it ain't the same as it was before NIL when Bama and Georgia was number one in recruiting each and every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's players going to other schools. I mean, but Kirby Smart's still a great coach. He has it rolling. Everyone's bought in. There's a culture set. Don't get me wrong. They're still good. They're still a team to beat in the SEC. But, yeah, like, you see the effects when a team loses a really, really good player. Alabama just lost the best coach in college football history, arguably. Like, they're going to take a step back. I don't care how great Kalen DeBoer is. And he's really, really good. But they're taking a step back. That's happening.
Swain, that gets me excited, man, because I just I think I like being – I'm like Coach Fulmer. I like being Alabama more than anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
The football program in Tuscaloosa isn't even the best program on campus anymore.
What is the best camp? Or is it basketball now, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
It's basketball.
And I'll tell you right now, Alabama on the hardwood. I don't mean to switch sports on you, Jay. I know you're talking about football.
No,
right,
you're
now,
fine. You're fine.
Alabama basketball is going to be a problem next year.
Yeah, they really
go ahead and let you know right now. Especially if Mark Sears decides to come back.
They're going to be a problem.
So what's the deal with this Chaz Lanier kid? Is he going to the G League?
No. He's not going to the G League. He got a G League camp invite, but I would be surprised if he remains in the draft from people who I've spoken to. I have heard he wants a first-round grade. It's not expected that he gets a first-round grade. So to me, he would have to have a change of heart in what he's looking for from the NBA draft for him to remain in the draft, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, Ben, before I get off here, brother, are we going to get that dreaded number one seed in the tournament?
Jay. Why are you being so scary? Why are you being so scary, Jay?
Guys, why are you scared of it, Jay? I'm telling you.
Jay, come on, Jay. You're being scary, man.
How long has it been, Ben? How long has it been?
Was it it's been
99.
Over two decades, I believe. 99, right?
Swain, you don't want to mess with that kind of juju, man.
Oh, Lord, man.
Somebody's got to do it at some point.
You're talking about beating Alabama in football, but over here talking about some bad juju. Come on.
That's some bad juju right there,
man. What you
want to
do, Jay? You want to be a champion
or not? I want to beat Alabama in football, and I want to get the number two seed in the baseball.
So beating Alabama means we got to have good juju?
Well, yeah, Nick Saban leaving. That's some good juju.
You think you got to have a juju to win a game? Or you got to have some dudes and a great game plan and a kick-ass mentality? Those are three things.
Swain, listen, I spent some time down in Louisiana. I don't know. It's just the ways of the world.
Oh, okay, well,
this voodoo and stuff that works. I don't know. But, you know, since 99, 20, 25 years or whatever it's been, I don't want that number one seed in baseball.
Oh, gosh.
Well, this is the year of the number one seeds. Football, men's basketball, and women's basketball all won it as number one seeds.
They all won?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ben, you might be on to something, man.
Well, Will Heflin said that first, so credit to Mr. Heflin.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, you know what? Maybe it's time to break the curse. But if we get the number one seed and we get beat by some team in the regional, like Notre Dame or something, Swain, I don't want to hear no more talk about getting the number one seed, because there's something to it then.
I'm going to talk. I'm going to keep talking about it, because I want to be number one. And it don't matter if it's in the middle of the season, the end of the season. I want to be number one at the end of the season, but I'm not going to decline being the best team in the country because two teams in front of us choked and lost their series. That's what happened. So we're supposed to decline it? No, thank you. We don't want to be number one team in the country. No.
Yeah, there you go, guy.
This is what happened. This is what needs to happen, Jay. The players need to take the same mentality as they have been taking the last couple of weeks and not pay attention to it and keep the main thing and do your job and don't beat yourself. If you do that, if you play up to your capabilities, up to your talent level, you'll be just fine. But if you don't, you're losing. It don't matter if you were the second seed, third seed, fourth seed, or fifth seed. If you don't execute, you're not winning.
Well, Swain, I never thought in my life I would say the program at Tennessee most likely to win a national title is baseball, but that's probably what I have to put my money on right now.
Baseball, softball.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, one of those two. Yeah,
Jay. It's crazy. Y'all take care,
all
man.
All right, Jay.
See you, buddy.
I can't believe Jay coming here.
Hey, and watch out if Tennessee ends up with Chaz Lanier. Watch out if Tennessee basketball ends up with Chaz Lanier now.
Jay, 7'2" in the paint, laying the ball up.
Playing like a 6'11" forward that we just saw play in the NCAA tournament.
Come on, man. You got to dunk it, Jay. You gotta dunk. Playing soft, Jay. Juju. Now, you spent some time in Louisiana. I get it. I understand.
I mean, kudos to Jay. That's the same mindset that Butch Jones would have. I'm sorry, Jay. That was wrong of me to say. I apologize. That was disrespectful. Very disrespectful of me. I should not speak to a Swain event listener in that manner, say that they are acting Butch Jones-esque. So, Jay, I please beg for your forgiveness. Speaking of Swain event listeners, we have a shout-out for the day, courtesy of the great Jennifer Morris. She wants to congratulate the Matthews family on going under contract on their new condo. The Matthews family, their Swain event listeners, Swain event family members as well. And the husband was a Vol baseball player back in the day. So I'm sure he's not afraid of the number one seed like some of y'all are. I'm sure he's all full steam ahead. Give us that number one seed and go take a chunk out of the ALCS of the NCAA tournament, Philip Fulmer style. But kudos to the Matthews family and congratulations on their new condo. And of course, if you are looking to buy a condo, rent a condo, buy a new house, do whatever you want in real estate, please reach out to Jennifer Morris of Keller Williams Realty. I obviously have shared my testimony with Jennifer many, many times, and there are many more from fellow Swain Event family members, and plenty of evidence out there that Jennifer Morris is the GOAT of Knoxville real estate. So please reach out to Jennifer for all of your real estate needs, please.
Sounds like a good plan to me. That sounds like a dang good plan to me. If Jennifer put a house on the market or tweet about a house being on the market, it had me wanting to check it out.
Hey, we got some houses open in my neighborhood over here. Why don't you come move over to the north side and be my neighbor? Mm-mm. Well, you're more of a south side guy anyways with your Chicago White Sox, which, by the way,
I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about the White Sox.
And no, I'm not talking about the White Sox. I'm talking about your new quarterback. Does it bother you as a diehard White Sox fan, as a diehard White Sox fan that lives and dies with every single pitch that the White Sox throw or try to hit? Did it bother you this past weekend to see Caleb Williams at Wrigley Field in a Chicago Cubs jersey in a box?
No, don't.
Did it bother you?
I didn't care. You know.
Speaking of the Cubs, did you see that Zach Edey threw out the first pitch last night?
I did not. I did not see that.
And right before first pitch, the Cubs were whistled for a foul.
Hey, man, listen. The Cubs are an iconic brand. It's what you do when you are drafted to the Bulls or when you're drafted to the – well, you don't do it when you're drafted to the Bulls because – same owners, the White Sox and the Bulls for a long time. But anyways, my point is, when you the new star in Chicago, sports star, you throw out the first pitch of the Cubs game. I'm sure Angel Reese is about to do it here soon. So I don't care. I don't care, man. You just get ready to see Justin Fields returning kickoffs.
I'm here for it. He's not going to be the starter anyways.
That's just crazy to me. But it ain't my problem. I am good.
What's crazy to you? Him returning kicks or him being the backup?
Him returning kicks.
Gotcha. I mean, it seemed like it wasn't actually going to happen. It seemed more like maybe they were cutting up in the meeting room and that's what was relayed, them messing around and joking about it.
Yeah. They might try to do it, but I
mean, is it with the new kickoff rules, is it really as crazy as we think that it is?
Yeah.
Because what would be different? Because the new kickoff rules, the kickoff coverage, it's starting like on the 30-yard line, correct? It's starting like right before they catch whenever they catch the ball. So like what would, if they're starting at like the 30-yard line, the kickoff coverage team, the tacklers, the defenders, if they're starting relatively close to the kickoff returner, what's the difference between that and Justin Fields running the ball as much as he typically does? Because they're not running full steam ahead like they typically are. To me, it's almost no different than than a regular running play. I mean, obviously not the exact same, but I don't think it's maybe as drastic as our mind has taught us to be about it.
The setup zone would be between the 30 and the 35 yard line is what the returning field, up to two returners in the backfield. And the rest of the team will line up in the new setup zone between 30 and 35 yard line. Ben, I don't know why you're trying to talk yourself into this.
Well, I'm not trying to talk myself into it. We have the greatest kickoff returner in the history of the NFL on our team.
Who?
Cordarrelle Patterson. We have Cordarrelle Patterson.
So why in the hell are we talking about Justin Fields returning kicks then?
Because it was a storyline this week. It's a fun topic, not a serious topic. Quit being a curmudgeon over there, okay? Lighten up a little bit.
He's a quarterback. He needs to continue to play quarterback.
I don't know.
You haven't seen Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray doing this. He's a quarterback. And if he's not going to be the first-team quarterback, he can be the second-team quarterback. But somebody else needs to return kicks. And you just mentioned it. The best player returning kicks since Devin Hester is Cordarrelle Patterson. Let him do it.
CP84 is better than DH23.
Okay.
One was a Vol and one was not. One is a Steeler, one was not.
I'm going to the phones. I'm not letting you troll me. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Lisa from Raleigh. How are you guys doing?
Lisa, we are wonderful. Hope you
are. Yay. Yes, thank you. Ben, congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yep. Hope everything's going well with you and the family.
It is. We are adjusting to two under two, and it's a lot of fun.
God bless you.
The terrible two stage, and the newborn be 2 months next week, and he's really starting to grow. So that's been fun to watch, and starting to coo and make faces. Aww. And all that fun stuff. So we're at a fun stage.
Awesome. I am calling regarding what you all were just talking about with the baseball team being number one. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm a long time suffering Jets fan, and I know that's not getting any better. But anyway, when Herm Edwards was was their coach, and I know they've had like a million. But anyway, one thing stuck with me. He once made a comment and said, don't be afraid to be great. So that's what I'm going to kind of relate it to with the baseball team. If you're great, don't be afraid to be great. And just, carry on with what you're doing and, just do your thing.
This is why coaches talk about being 1-0 and trying to simplify it as much as possible to make sure these players and everyone inside of the organization are just focused on beat the next opponent and not letting the outside noise, not letting where you're ranked distract you. Of course, Tony Vitello doesn't like it because he has to deal with it, but Tony Vitello himself is fine with it. It's just, I think now he has to make sure that his team is locked in and focused, and he would rather not do that. But what coach doesn't want to be number one in the country? It's just that, for Tennessee, you're number one in the country May the 6th. And you'd rather be number one in the country, at the end of June and July. But
I mean, yeah, that's what you strive for. So just, keep doing it.
Don't be afraid of greatness. That's the lesson. Thank you so much.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
All right.
Go
bye-bye.
Jets. Go Jets. Come on, man. We want the Jets.
I wonder what's tougher, being a Jets fan or a Bears fan.
That's a good question. Probably. I mean, Jets have been worse.
Yeah, they have. I would say a Jets fan. At least the Bears have won a Super Bowl this century. Have the Jets ever won a Super Bowl? I assume they have.
They have.
With
Joe Namath.
What's that?
Joe Namath.
With Joe Namath?
I think.
Broadway Joe?
I think, yeah.
Forgive me, I'm not up to date on my New York Jets but history.
It's the Jets. The Jets have had it worse
recently. Yeah, sorry, Lisa.
Than the Bears. So
they won the NFL championship in 1969. Nice.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised they've only won it once.
I'm not. Turkey Man says Joe Milton has a better chance of returning kicks than Justin Fields. Louisiana Paul.
I would say Justin Fields has a better chance than returning kicks than Joe Milton.
I would agree. Justin Fields has a better chance. Louisiana Vol says this everything school thing won't stay if we don't win a championship soon. I need one. These LSU fans annoying me about championship truth. Championship truth hurts. Just win one, please. Is Juju just bad, Jay? Where's the good? Now, the everything school, that works. It works for Tennessee. Until a LSU fan interjects. The moment a LSU fan interjects, it really crushes our everything school phrase that we've been rocking for seems like a couple of years now. Because we do everything well. LSU has won 3 championships in 3 different sports in the last year. And one of those sports we don't even have. Like, we don't have gymnastics. But, like, they still won a championship. They won one baseball. Won one in women's basketball. They won a football one with Joe Burrow in 2019. So, like, yeah, like, we can keep rocking everything in school. And we are doing a great job at everything. We just haven't got over that hump to win a championship. So if you're down there in Louisiana as a Tennessee fan, you're gonna have to deal with that. And I understand how that's tough and annoying, because they've done a tick better in a couple sports to get over that hump. Overall, yeah, like, hard to find a school that's winning in all the sports that more than Tennessee. So I understand Louisiana Fall. I get it. Nelson from Jackson says Alabama also lost majority of the secondary, including the 2 deep. Talking about Jay's phone call about Alabama slipping after Nick Saban. I was like, Jay, that's the most obvious statement of the day. The Alabama's going to take a step back. The Nick Saban is retired. Duh, yeah. Come on now. We know that. We know that. Oh yeah, man. This weekend. This weekend. Is Vanderbilt even good, man?
They're very Florida and LSU-esque. Right now,
okay,
to where they have the talent to beat anybody in the country, but something is just not clicking right now. And maybe the switch came on for LSU this past weekend. They did upset the number one team in the country in Texas A&M in Baton Rouge, and they did so without their best pitcher, Luke Holman, that scrub, the one who picked Tennessee or picked LSU over Tennessee after his daddy spent weeks telling Tennessee that he was coming to Tennessee, but that's neither here nor there.
He was scrubbing us pretty good when he was in.
What's that?
I said he was scrubbing us pretty good when he was in.
He was. He was indeed. But maybe the switch came on for LSU. Florida. I mean, Florida this weekend, you saw the natural talent. Like, I know some fans were frustrated when Tennessee had its offensive lulls throughout the weekend. But to me, I thought that was more about Florida just having elite raw ability and its inability to find any consistency. Sure, Tennessee could have made adjustments along the way, but you had the redshirt freshman, I'm blanking on his name, that came in game 2 and was just... His stuff was just dynamite right out of the bullpen and was very, very hard to hit. And then Cags comes in on Saturday in game three, and for the first four innings of the game, his changeup was unhittable. Like, again, sure, Tennessee could have made adjustments. They could have done this, could have done that. But ultimately, I feel like that was more just about that being a filthy changeup than this player or that player on Tennessee's lineup needing to be benched. And that was the reaction that was going on. But, and one of the reasons this Tennessee team is great is they battle so hard in the box. I mean, they put on a coaching clinic every time they have two strikes on them and how to hit with two strikes. They are not afraid to hit with two strikes.
Are you talking about Dylan Loy?
No, the Florida pitcher.
Oh, the Florida pitcher, okay.
Yeah, the kid for Florida that came in and was bumping gas, and the breaking balls were pretty filthy. I believe he was throwing a changeup as well.
Jameson?
Yeah, that sounds right. They had a couple of guys. The Peterson kid looked pretty good.
McNeely?
Neely was all right. He traditionally has more stuff and has always been hyped up, but he's never quite lived up to the hype. But I thought that was more about Florida's raw ability than anything. But it hasn't clicked for some reason. And their offense is too reliable on the home run ball. And for anybody who says that Tennessee is too reliable on the home run ball, I thought Chris Burke had some good comments last week in an interview with Tony Basilio, in that it seems like Tennessee is home run or bust. And I had not thought about this until Chris said something, and I'm mad that I didn't think about this, but this is why Chris is great and I'm a scrub. Because Tennessee plays in a hitter-friendly ballpark, and the stadium is maybe 10 to 15 feet shorter in some parts than in other ballparks, Tennessee's hitters, some of the line drives that they hit that would be a double or a triple in major league ballparks to the warning track or off the wall, because Lindsey Nelson is so hitter friendly, they're home runs in the ballpark. Sure, Tennessee hits its fair share of moonshots, but don't be deceived by the home run numbers that Tennessee only hits home runs. Maybe the number is a little bit inflated because of the stadium that they play in the majority of the time. And some of those doubles and triples in bigger ballparks that would lead to producing runs in other ways, they get out at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Those home runs that you see that land on the first row of the porches or sneak into the bullpen down the right field line, some of those would be doubles and triples elsewhere. And I'm not at all disparaging Tennessee when I say that. It's just, it makes it seem like all they do is hit home runs, when there are some home runs that they hit because of the stadium that they hit in. That's not why their numbers are what they are overall, but that's maybe why it makes it seem like they are home run or bust, when in reality they're spraying line drives all over the field, which would ordinarily, in bigger ballparks, a big league park, Omaha, it would produce other ways to score runs. And I thought that was a great, great point by Chris Burke. But long-winded way, as I typically do, Swain, of saying that Vanderbilt is very much along the lines of Florida and LSU of having a lot of natural talent, but it just hasn't quite clicked yet. And the last year or two, Vanderbilt seemed a little bit off. And I think there may be some Dabo Swinney there of needing to adjust to the times. And I don't think that Tim Corbin has dropped off in the manner that Dabo has, but I do think there's some similarities there of in a new age of transfer portal and NIL, maybe things have caught up to them a little bit. And maybe that has more to do with what's around them, like at Tennessee, than maybe something that they're doing wrong. Maybe it's just others have caught up to them because of the resources that others now have, and Vanderbilt does not have a distinct advantage with the 13.7 scholarship rules, and because they're a private school, they can hand out other scholarships and all that fun stuff. But if Tennessee's not ready to play this weekend, they'll lose. There's no doubt about that. But something's off with this Vanderbilt team, and although you don't want them to click at the right time, I'm not as worried about them clicking as I was with LSU and Florida. They've got some tough guys on the mound to start the weekend. And if Tennessee's not locked in, ready to play, then they'll lose. But I think this is a series that Tennessee should win. And I'm sure we'll talk about that more on Thursday as we get closer to the weekend.
Homeowners, when you call a contractor and they take forever to come out, takes forever. You feel like you wasted the whole day. You don't have to do that with Hiller. When you call Hiller, they will be there. You can be a happy camper this month with 0% interest financing for 24 months on select HVAC systems, generators, and tankless water heaters. Or take advantage of Hiller's $99 drain cleaning special. Take care of your home systems before the peak summer temperatures hit. Visit the website happyhiller.com for all your details today. Running through our Betty Chevrolet text box before we say goodbye for this morning. He had a nasty slaughter that Tennessee hitters couldn't lay off, is what Chip Payne said, versus the Florida young pitcher. Brandon Luckett says, thank you, Turkey Man, for putting together that Peyton only came to big games, and that's why we lost. Never would have thought of that. Brandon being sarcastic. Brian Hunsucker says, so the team that makes the fewest mistakes will win. That's right. Every sport. It applies to every sport. Let's see.
Jake Clemente was the name of the Florida pitcher that I was struggling to remember. Jake Clemente, redshirt freshman.
Jennifer Moore says, I want UT to be number one in all sports when it matters most at the end, when they win a championship. And Swain, superstitions and jinx are a huge part of baseball fans' lives. We can't help it. Well, that's fine. It don't equate to wins and losses.
That's not true. If you are a pitcher and you're running out to the mound and you step on the baseline, you step on that white line, you are cursed for that game. That's a fact. That is a well-known baseball fact.
Yeah.
Don't step on the foul line. Don't. You are tempting fate when you do so.
Well, if you jump over the line and get up on the mound and you throw the same pitch every time.
Let us enjoy our beautiful sport the way that we want to enjoy it. Did you have any, I'm sure I've asked you this before, did you have any game day superstitions, wear the same underwear, socks, or anything along those lines for each game? Well, you see players who have like the same undershirt or they wear the same underwear for every game. Did you have any superstitions along that line? Any pregame meal that you had to have or a snack or you did something X amount of time before the game? You don't seem like a guy that would do any of that, but seems like you would be pretty boring in that regard.
Pretty boring. Sorry.
There's nothing that you did time and time again out of the ordinary routine.
Mm-mm. No.
My senior, specific song that you listened to?
No, I had music, but not just one song. I didn't do one thing every time. My senior year had, little rubber bands on your wrist that everybody has them now, but like I used to have some orange, white, and black ones. I used to, wear those, but like I didn't do that my freshman through junior year. I kind of had like a different look each year with accessories. So no, man, I didn't really have that. The games that I think I didn't play up to the level I thought I should had nothing to do with superstition. It was technique and
or you think that it doesn't have anything to do with superstition, but if you would have done something differently pregame, you would have had good juju going into it, and then you would not have played as poorly. Maybe you were wrong for not having any superstitions. Maybe that would have helped you in your poor games.
No, probably not. Yeah.
I know that you got that ankle taped up before every game, especially at the end of your career.
Everybody had to get the ankle taped up in every game. It was mandatory.
Is that typically mandatory for every team?
I don't know what other teams do. I just know you either had to have your ankles taped or you had to wear a brace just to save your ankles. But now, guys.
That makes sense. It's just like it doesn't, especially in today's game, like you don't see that as much. Like obviously you see guys with ankles taped and stuff and knee braces, but you also see the receivers and DBs out there who don't even look like they're wearing socks out there with their low cut cleats.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing a lot of that now. Guys don't have the ankles taped, and that's just the risk that you are willing to take because you want to feel more free. I get it. I totally get it. I totally get it. So, but no, I didn't have any superstitions, man. Swain is an old soul. He probably ate a box of chocolate raisins or something like that. Nelson from Jackson. No, man, I ain't have any. Mississippi Falls says, one thing about it being we are facing another dangerous and desperate opponent on the road this weekend. It reminds me of our situation last year when we were coming off getting swept at Arkansas and the number two ranked team came in and we swept them.
Ooh. Oh, absolutely. I had that thought last night that the roles are reversed this season. This season, Vanderbilt enters the series very much like Tennessee entered the series a year ago. And Tennessee is the big dog perception-wise and rankings-wise going into this series. So it's going to be a heck of a challenge. There's no doubt about that. Again, as I said multiple times, Tennessee better be ready to play. Do you think Nelson was somebody who came and watched you played as a high school recruit and was one of those fans like we see many or a couple in Tennessee's fan base that would show up and have a sign encouraging you to come to Tennessee? Do you think Nelson was one of those type of fans during your recruitment, making his way down from Jackson to Huntsville to stand outside of the locker room at Grissom High School or write you a love letter or anything along those lines?
No, I think Nelson made up a song. And kind of went like this. You a fan, you a fan, you a fan. You a fan, you a fan, you a fan. Some of y'all get that, some of y'all won't. I can't tell you what it really means. But Nelson be on them drums, man. Nelson be on those drums. I'm sure Nelson has been to his fair share of recruiting announcements.
No, well, I can guarantee you he was at every Trey Smith game.
Oh, man. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. James Pierce. A lot of talk about James Pierce. Can he handle the hype all summer long? How can Tennessee help him manage the hype? That is something we'll have to discuss on Thursday. The lists are starting to come out about Tennessee football, about Josh Heupel. Where does he rank amongst the current coaches? We'll get to that. Also, hopefully, we have some basketball updates. And then we're closer and closer to Tennessee Vanderbilt. The battle. It's the Our State battle. It's real in baseball. It's not real in football and basketball. But it's real in baseball. So we'll discuss that more on Thursday. For Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Hope y'all have a great rest of your Tuesday. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and much love. We are out.